Welcome back to the Talos and Tech Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It is a very special day. We decided to come in formal, and Randy inspired us, I think, mainly from this.
Mainly.
As soon as he answered the call, we just realized...
Because I answered the call.
If he's got a tie, we had to one-up him on this one, so
yeah.
Thank you for being here, gentlemen.
Welcome special to... welcome to our Talos of Podcast annual shareholder meeting where we are officially on track to becoming the world's best tech podcast news on the interwebs. Gentlemen, always an honor.
See.
Hey, an Apple podcast, and I will never stop saying that. I mean,
we were in an Apple advertisement.
Yes, an official one.
I think we need to find a new dead horse to beat at some point in our lives.
Air power is dead.
A new horse to kill of some kind.
No, it needs to already be dead. That's the point of a
this
dead horse.
This is a very special... It's not every day you just have your 137th episode.
No.
This is a big deal. We have to celebrate this monumental achievement. Think of how many podcasts reach it to 137. Many don't.
Many don't, but a lot do. Especially the ones
I bet you can't name one.
In the tech community?
Happy Hour by 9 to 5 Mac. They're on 3 something.
In the tech community?
What was 137 called? Did they do anything for it?
No,
actually exactly. They didn't.
We will remember this day.
No, Zach and Benjamin didn't do anything exciting on the 137th episode. But we dressed up because we're professionals.
Audio listeners, take our word for it. We're
spiffy
looking right now.
Spiffy. One of us is spiffy looking. The other two are not. You can decide who's
guys.
You guys
are looking spiffy. Don't degrade yourself like that.
Yeah, my matching plaid shirt with the
I meant it. There's official. No,
oh, I do have an Apple pin though. This is an OG Apple pin from the late 70s.
How'd you get that?
This.
Did you get it legally?
Yes, legally, I think. My grandpa was an Apple rep for a while for some of the school districts that he worked in. And so he had this old Apple pin that was in the shrink wrap, and a little piece of paper behind it had 1979 stamped on the back. And this is like the classic Apple logo, and I'm just very proud of it.
Reminds me, Apple turned 45.
Happy birthday to
they
Apple!
Made it.
That's I thought that's why we dressed up today.
Oh.
Yeah, that was it. That was the main one.
That was it. I got no fancy Apple pen. I got my Marine Corps tie clasp, military issued. So I'm so cheap. I didn't even pay for it. I just never.
Thank you for your service.
You earned it.
You paid in other ways
through your service.
Oh, that's the most patriotic thing I've ever heard.
You didn't pay in cash.
I paid
in
blood.
Crypto.
Oh my god. Speaking of crypto, yeah, cool segue. I see what you're doing at the bot or in your description there, Drew.
Oh wow, that was Randy actually checks the description.
Wow,
I feel sorry that
what's
you've checked
going
it
on
probably that regularly.
No,
and...
I feel sorry that the news was so dry that. Well, so, okay, hang
the
on,
video
hang
was
on
so started boring.
Wait, your video was so boring. No, okay.
He's trying to memorize the links in the description.
Let me explain. I was like, well, since Drew is changing up his video format, what else is he changing up? Description. Brrr, nope. Looks at, hey, what's that?
I had the same mentality of Tesla of there seems to be no real disadvantage to accepting cryptocurrency if someone offers it.
Did anybody ever offer you crypto?
Or Bitcoin? Elon
did. Did, yes.
A couple times on Twitter. Elon's offered me directly.
Yeah. Apple did. Mr. Beast did. Bill Gates did.
I love
Obama
it.
Did. Everybody was offering crypto a while back. Still waiting on those, but I did have someone offer to ask if I had a crypto code the other day. Mm. I was like, you know, there's not really a reason to not accept it if someone's willing to offer it. So I was like, okay, sure. I'll just put it in the description. But I did not advertise it or bring it up, but Randy did for me, so thank you. Now he
promotion
took the awkward asking of, hey guys, so I actually do accept that. You will get absolutely nothing back, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
If somebody donates you in cryptocurrency, in Bitcoin specifically, I want to talk to that person in general.
Okay.
We can arrange so whatever this, happens. Randy.
You let me. I want to talk to him because I got a bridge to sell you.
You got a bridge.
Oh, I was curious. I see what you did there.
Tesla obviously made a ton, but that's not what this podcast is about.
No, this is an Apple podcast.
Do you guys think
Come on.
Apple should pull a Tesla and have some of their cash reserves stored in crypto?
Yes. I think so.
Do you think that?
Yes.
You think that's a good call?
100%. Yes. Crypto is the future. It's been identified by many different companies, including Tesla, being willing to put $1.5 billion into crypto just to hold the value. And
how much should Apple put in?
They have...
$10 billion.
Probably around 10, honestly. Yeah, probably around 10.
That's like nothing to them, too.
Well, so the thing is, they have a lot. They have 250-something billion, maybe 300 billion at this point. I haven't looked recently.
But, cash? Or
yeah, in cash and cash equivalents. But a lot of those cash reserves are held overseas. And if they repatriate those funds, then they're going to have to pay corporate tax rate in the U.S. on that. And so they haven't done it. They got like most of their cash is frozen in accounts in other countries, which is always kind of an interesting. They go into debt to finance things. Like when they built Apple Park, they sold corporate bonds for Apple Park, but they. You know,
Tim
they obviously had
card,
the cash. Yeah, he probably just put it on his platinum card. But but yeah, so they went into debt to finance things, even though they had the cash, because it's more expensive for them to move the cash into the States and pay that tax on it than it is for them to pay interest. So they don't have a ton of U.S. cash to play with. But maybe they could figure out a cool, slimy way to buy crypto in New Zealand or wherever, Swiss banks or whatever, wherever they have their cash stored. They could turn that into crypto. That'd be pretty cool.
I think Apple, well, I mean, remember when Apple had that, this was within the first couple of years of Tim Cook being CEO. He had to go testify because of the whole money practices and stuff like that. And even in that, they were telling him, they said, I mean, what you're doing is an American thing still to keep your money off. Like, it's bad business if you don't keep your money somewhere where you don't have to pay taxes. And so the government was telling us, like, I know you don't want to pay us. We get it. Like, it's dumb if you do pay us. So if they can openly – if they can openly – I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what they're saying. If they can openly say that, then maybe –
No, I'm sure that's exactly what they said.
I mean, she goes – she says it's – something along the lines of, like, it's ridiculous if you didn't have money off – like outside the U.S. To not pay taxes. Like, it's an American thing to do to not want to pay taxes is where she was getting at. And if you could acknowledge that and at the government level, like us – you know, plebes can say that, but when somebody, a representative of the court says, or at least with Congress or the Senate says that, but like anybody in government says that, maybe we should change some things where it's like, hey, I want to move some of this stuff to crypto, this new thing that's not even a decade old. Well, it is a decade old now, isn't it? Oh, my God.
You're
oh, it is. A anyway,
should they accept?
Yeah, like, can we move our money this way and not get penalized for it? Because if we can all acknowledge that the system that we're doing right now for legal loopholes is appropriate, then can we just do something that doesn't feel like we have to air quote legal loopholes and just do something where if we want to move money into crypto and it still helps our country, our economy. Mm-hmm. Talosov Economics Podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel very rich in this episode just because...
Just look at you.
We're talking about currency and everyone's wearing their suits.
It's our Talosov shareholders meeting. Yeah,
that's the shareholder meeting.
Speaking of important meetings that are coming up, specifically regarding Apple, I think we have a new meeting announced on June 7th.
A conference, if you will.
Perhaps a conference.
A conference, if you will.
Although I'd say now it's more worldwide than ever, given it's a live stream.
Do you
think they might develop some stuff?
Yeah.
There might be some developers attending.
They might develop some stuff at this worldwide
possibly
thing.
Not actually attending, but joining online, as it were.
I mean, what is attending?
Really, though. Like 99.9% of the people watching the event each year are watching it online anyway. So really doesn't change much for the everyday person, unless you're the type of person actually going to those things. But I did find it quite hilarious how people were... I mean, every time Apple announces an invite or something, people come up with the craziest conclusions as to what it's confirming.
Yes.
You know, they were like, the Memoji has glasses on. Apple Glass. Definitely happening.
Oh, my God.
No. That's definitely
oh
Sam.
Oh, my gosh.
You want to talk about stretching there, Sam? This is how you end up with an OnlyFans account.
Oh, no, he went there.
If only he accepted crypto. Oh, well. But no, the event invite was pretty lazy, in my opinion. It was pretty much the same as last year, just from a different angle.
But it was embracing the Craig meme a little bit, which was kind of fun.
How cool is that?
We thought the same thing last year. They were like, okay, Memoji's being used on a Mac. That means Face ID. That means...
Mm-hmm. I do remember that conversation.
That's definitely what it means. It's like... This was probably like one guy in Apple's marketing department who had an hour, and they were like, "You need to make the invite image," and he was like, "Oh,
what did
okay.
we do last
year?" Last year, he just changed the angle.
You
he
can just copy, just don't camera. Make it look obvious.
He used last year's renders and was just like, "Oh, okay."
How cool is that?
I would have preferred if it was just Craig.
If you just use Craig's face from his like senior VP, you know, corporate. We just use that. I'm gonna be even if you don't use that, I'm still gonna be there. But like using that's like, oh yeah, this is gonna be a good one. That means he's
just
gonna
a picture
talk a lot.
Of him with his arms open.
There you go.
Good morning.
Or wiping his face nervously. Oh, let's switch to backup here.
Oh, we're back.
Yeah. Our crack marketing team.
That would have been good when they announced that it would be all online. If it was just Craig wiping his forehead saying, let's go to backup here.
No, they,
just
they
with the text.
Very hurriedly don't want to ever bring attention to that. No more than Tim Cook wants to bring attention to good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, why? Good I hate morning. That. I hate that he's abandoned that. But do you guys think we should expect more to be announced or unveiled before this event, or is nothing happening till then?
I think we'll get a fair. I think we'll see some stuff between now and then that are going to be site refreshed. We got something iPad for sure. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, because we got the keyboard, you know, that came out, and if they were to do something, I could see them doing something small for the regular iPad. Or small in the sense that it's the coolest thing that we got last year, in my opinion, was this keyboard, and it was a site refresh. It was a video that we had to see our Lord and Savior Craig Figueredi go through and just do his thing, right? You know, that was cool, and I think that was one of the best things that we got last year. Something like that would be nice to see again for the other Macs. Mm-hmm. If they update just the Mac, the iPad. I mean, it's the Mac. If they update the iPad Pro or regular iPad, I feel like something iPad related is always in the springtime. School, you know, it feels appropriate. Maybe AirTags. At this point, I could care less about AirTags. I don't even know. I'm so tired of saying that word. I'm more tired of saying AirTags than I am AirPower.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there.
I think I would also agree with you there, because at least AirPower's kind of been dead for 2 years now. Three almost, right?
At least Apple like officially came forward with a statement saying it's not happening. That wasn't enough for some people, I don't know. But I guess AirTags, Apple hasn't killed off officially yet.
Even though they've never said it.
Imagine the newsroom post, they're just like, AirTags aren't happening. We never talked about them, but we just want you to know they're not happening.
This thing that we never officially announced is not happening.
Mm-hmm. They don't like drawing attention to that. But yeah, it feels very similar to the iPhone SE refresh last year, where I was like, I have very little interest in the hardware itself. I'm just excited for this chapter in the leak's mm-hmm. history to be done. To be able- just get it over with. Can we just pull the plug on this and be like, okay, it's out, we're done now? Because this has been... It's kind of turning into that with Apple Glass. I feel like every mm-hmm. event for the past six events, I've heard someone say, this is going to be Apple Glass. See the invite image? See this? It confirms this is happening. It's like, oh my God. But we're probably a good 3-5 years away from the glasses still, so we're going to get a lot more of those rumors and leaks for the next few
Boy,
events,
can't I wait. Woohoo.
Well, by the time it comes out, it'll probably be like, about time. Figured. Can we get it over with?
I'm still just... AirTag, at this point, I have that same mentality as like, just show it so we can shut up about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Even if it's not ready. Even if you can't ship it yet. Just confirm its existence so we can move on.
Stop talking about it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Biggest troll that, since they evidently like trolling our leakers now, it comes out in some way, between when we first got word of the name and now they changed the name. Apple Tag or something like that. You know, something like with the
Apple Tag.
You know, just
they decide it's not AirTag at the last minute.
And then everybody else says, you know, Apple Track score drops just a little bit more, and then, you know, more punishments can be distributed. But I feel like Apple is at this point. One thing is for sure, Apple. Even though how it got released is funny because it's contradicting itself, Apple did get control of the leaks.
Mm-hmm.
So
seems like it.
Even though we found out,
the leakers never really had control. We just thought they did. It's one or the other.
It was Tim all along. It was Agatha all along. Just Tim Cook sitting behind his computer.
Was CoinX or if somebody was CoinX, like maybe not Tim, but you know, so, like at the level of like senior VP or something. Was a CoinX person, then they are playing 5D chess with us in a way that...
Underwater. 5D underwater chess.
Under mantle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just the water.
Yeah, looking all the way down to the mantle.
Go sit down.
Speaking of mantles...
Go. Yes.
I don't have any other tech news this week.
Oh, you're just speaking of them. Okay.
I'm just speaking of mantles. I learned that in my geology class. And,
well done.
You know, mantles are cool.
Fair enough. Okay. I was curious if you guys caught my Apple TV story.
Yes.
Do you guys think that they're planning on finally doing something with it this year?
Watched said video, but may not remember said video.
Stop it.
Can you give us a 10-second refresher?
I will give a 10-second refresher because I'll count. Loyal one.
Oh, okay.
The one who memorizes the description.
It's safe to say anything that you see of Drew's thumbnail is the recap, so...
Pretty much.
But I did watch that video. You gotta stop scratching Kika. She's bugging me. Sit down. Stop it. It's so annoying. Why are you waiting until we do this? Thank you.
Will scratch anyway, when puppies. AirTags launch.
So, Apple TV. Ooh. Apple TV. Are they gonna do something this year? Kika, stop it! Yes.
Kika, stop it!
No, she gets right back up. She's going to start scratching again. Oh, my God.
Come on,
you're broken.
Kika.
Now she's
just ignore her.
I'm in trouble. She's like... All right. She lay down. Good girl. So Apple TV doing something this year. Yeah, I could see... I'm surprised they didn't do anything last year if I'm actually...
Me too.
More That's thinking about
exactly
that.
Exactly how I feel.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do anything last year. But this year, what I will agree with you, I used to not agree with you, Drew, on this thought, but the more I think I agree. I think they need to either go all in on separating like arcade, and then if you're going to do something that's console competitive, you have to go console competitive, whereas an Apple TV now, this box... That's going to be really overpowered for what you could just put a thumbstick drive in the back and a different, you know, a different TV service, whatever would come up, a streaming service. Yeah. But this weird hybrid of you're going to pay over $120 and you get everything that you could get off of a Roku or one of the Google or it's even these TVs. I use my LG TV built-in OS to do all my streaming because I don't like having multiple controllers either. Like I just like having but the one. But this weird in-between thing where it's trying to be, a TV support. Like here's our version of that
our
for
hub.
Apple TV.
Yeah.
For Apple TV. Or Apple TV Plus, I should say, and everything else, and arcade, and this, but the controllers and the UI, it feels a bit, you know, like even though it's clean, it's almost counterintuitive with the gestures. But then you can also have a game controller. I think they should split. They should split. Ooh. if they go arcade, if they, you know, putting your money where your mouth is.
Yeah,
you can have it for iPad and iPhone and all that stuff, but then have a dedicated game console, something small but still applicable, and that can live in the realm of that niche market of Nintendo Switch. Whereas Apple TV could be, in my opinion, strictly software, you don't need a box. But if you do have a box or a stick and you just plug it in, then the controller needs to be I like the gesture controller that we have now. That this is where I still differ with you. I don't like clicking tactile. I like the swipe gestures and stuff like that, but the thing is it's just not it doesn't work on the TV root level of having to navigate that, because I would only want the one controller. And I like the idea of gestures,
right?
Because I like scrubbing, even though it's very finicky. I still
like the
that
gestures.
Feel.
I just feel like no one took advantage of them. That's my issue.
Well, I do agree. Yeah, I think an Apple TV should be the thing. Do away with a box or a stick, and just use a TV. Make a TV, even if Samsung is still making the display or LG. I mean,
yeah.
Or TCL or anybody else, but just, you know, because you do some collab, throw your sticker, throw that good old Apple icon on the bottom center of the TV and call it a day. And now you have a full-on dedicated Apple TV. There you go for that. And then the box becomes a dedicated console that competes not with PlayStation and Xbox, but with something of that of Switch, Nintendo Switch.
Hmm.
That's how they should approach.
I like that approach, Randy, but the fundamental problem with the Apple TV we currently have is that it's trying to do two things at once. It's trying to be a streaming box and a gaming console. And
it's pretty bad at both.
It's pretty bad at both, and I think that's a result of it trying to do both. And all throughout Apple's history, we've seen countless examples of Apple saying, no, this device does one thing, and it does it really well, and this other device does this other thing really well. And the Apple TV is really weird because it's trying to do both at the same time, and we don't
like
see
a
that.
Foldable almost.
Yeah, exactly. I would say it's a lot like older. Is that the Newton? It was trying to be this PDA thing, and it was trying to be able to like take notes and stuff with a stylus.
It's trying to be like a foldable today.
It was just trying to do too many things. And when Steve got back, he, you know, cleaned up the whole lineup and said, here are four quadrants. This is what we're making. Each one of the items in the quadrant is going to be really good. Now, obviously, we have multi-quadrants with, multiple columns and rows in each one. But I guess that's not a quadrant if we have more in the quadrant. The quad implies there are four things inside of it. So if we have six things in our quadrants, it's a sextant. Sextant.
The quadrant.
An
octant.
An octant. Anyway.
I know what you mean.
So these devices are trying to do two things. And so I really believe that Apple should. I mean, even going back to the fourth gen Apple TV, when Apple first refreshed the tvOS UI and allowed app developers to make games and stuff for it, a lot of developers were frustrated because at the beginning, when there was a lot of hype for this product, Apple said, no, all games have to be fully compatible with the Siri remote. And that takes away a lot of fun potential, because when you have a joystick with two independent controllers and like 80 buttons and like, you know, gyroscopes and stuff, like you can get pretty cool games out of it. And limiting everything to just the Siri remote had a gyroscope, a touchpad, and a few buttons, and that was all. And so a lot of these games
changed that eventually.
They did. But a lot of these game developers had a lot of hype and excitement about it, because, you know, Apple gets up on stage and hypes up this new platform, and all the developers are like, oh, cool, let's make our app for this. And then they quickly found out that it wasn't feasible for, say, Asphalt 8 or whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever games that would probably be better with a control. I think actually Asphalt 8 does work with its Siri remote, but
I've done it. It's
does like, it not work well?
I don't know. It kind of reminds me of those little Nintendo Joy-Con games that they have to get really creative of, like, oh, you unfold it like this, and except 10 times worse than that.
Mm.
It's like,
but all of those. Go ahead.
They had a first-person shooter game that worked on the Siri remote, and you had to like tilt it around on the gyro to walk, and also be using the trackpad as you were tilting. It was the most confusing thing I'd ever seen, but it was really funny to see a developer attempt to do like a COD game with the Siri remote, and they were like walking around. I was like,
a lot of developers after that roadblock, that artificial roadblock that Apple put in place of needing to use the Siri remote, after that was removed, a lot of developers really never came back. I mean, it lost a ton of hype, and people kind of realized, well, this is dumb, and nobody really uses it. It's not as popular. App developers could definitely see the download analytics on Apple TV. And
That's why Minecraft got removed.
Exactly.
Because they said no one was using it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, why would you? I don't know who would want to do that. But I'm sure there's one guy who's sad in the comments right now. But yeah,
that was
just
me.
I
used to play Minecraft on my Apple TV pretty regularly.
Really? How did that go?
It worked fine. I mean, I had to buy like a separate controller, but there was like a controller from Apple you could buy that came with a copy of Minecraft, and I believe it even supported like you could play with other people on their iPad. And so I was a big Apple guy and a big Minecraft guy, so I was kind of like the one tiny niche of that demographic. But the thing to remember when the Apple TV came out, first of all, starts at $180.
Yeah.
For 32 gigs.
Yeah. Fully subsidized?
Fully subsidized. 100. On top of that, here's the biggest spit in the face. Still, to this day, does not come with an HDMI cable.
Ooh, true.
Which is like...
the disrespect.
First of all, how dare you?
Yeah.
That is AirPods Max level of stupidity. Yeah. Of like, well, let's not include the $35 cable on our $550 headphones. And this is... to get... a gaming platform, I still feel like every day I see people miss the point on that. It's like it has very little to do with the hardware, honestly. Getting a gaming platform has very little to do with, oh, we have a great processor, we have a great GPU, we have a great display. To me, the great case in point of that is the Nintendo Switch. Hardware-wise, it's not that powerful. The screen isn't very good. It's not very... I mean, it's fun to play with, but what makes that console work are the games and the platform that has developed for it and the titles and exclusives it has that you can't get elsewhere. Yeah. That's what makes a platform. So Apple can throw an M1 chip or the M2 chip, the most advanced GPU, CPU that they could fit onto a little TV box or a little maybe slightly bigger like console attempt. Wouldn't matter if they couldn't get enough game devs to make stuff that people want. And arcade titles are difficult to do with because people don't really know about them. And the advertising is always just like overly minimalistic gameplay. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it looks so pretty. Let's try to play it. And that's why it doesn't take
so
off.
Artsy.
But I do agree with you guys that the issue here is they're trying to attack two markets with one product. And I wouldn't even say it's a jack of all trades. It's a
master of
it's
none.
It's a jack of
it's
nothing,
a it's
really.
A it's a three of clubs of all.
It's a three of clubs.
I'm like, what's the ugliest card? Three of clubs.
Pretty much,
three of clubs.
The three of clubs is kind of how I would describe the Apple TV.
The Apple TV is a three of clubs.
I agree with you that I would be much more inclined to buy a TV if in the future it was like, this one runs TVOS.
Yeah.
And sort of how Roku has partnered with other smart TVs.
Yep.
Imagine if you had all of your apps on TVOS, but also some of those tiles was like input one, input two, And with that one remote, that. you could swipe to all
your
inputs.
Oh, my God. I would love that. Because you would just see it go.
Boom, boom,
like,
boom.
You could swipe
to the Xbox or swipe to whatever. Yeah.
I would use that to get away from TVOS and go straight into, like, Netflix or whatever. But but the thing that I do give Apple TV that I've always liked about it, it's – it is the cleanest UI out of all of them, and it gives me the least amount of stress navigating through things. I like the wallpapers that come up over the ones that I get on my LG. I like everything about the UI. The UI is great for big, you know, saturated, minimalistic, like it's welcoming. It has that Apple feel where it's welcoming, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not, and it's very responsive. It's very clean,
right?
And that's pretty much where my compliments end. I do like the Siri controller. Same. I like it for what it. For what it was in 2016. I like it for what it was in 2016. I didn't upgrade my TV, my Apple TV. From the original, well, I never got the 4K. I just got Apple TV HD or whatever with that Siri controller. I was like, this is cool for what it was. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but it's not enough. It's not enough for what I would want it to do. I need input changes. I need if you're going to give me a TV and a controller, it needs to actually replace the whole TV infrastructure that I have set up. It needs to control my soundbar, because right now everything is just automatically paired in Bluetooth with my soundbar and the LG TV. All that needs to be done. If you can fix that, you'll have my business. But right now, it's just, I keep everything in LG because it's just cleaner that way. It's not the best, but the cleanest.
Yeah, the issue with the UI, which I agree with you, TVOS out of all the different smart TV boxes I've seen is very clean, very simple, very elegant, and all the sounds are very satisfying in the settings.
Yep.
I love that aspect of it, but what's different about a TVOS versus like a iOS or an iPadOS is we don't really spend much time navigating those menus. It's very much just I get to my app and I play the content, and then the majority of the time it's just playing.
True.
And there's like... with an iPhone and an iPad, navigating between apps and switching apps and doing different functionality things on it, that's, I would say, a very significant portion of the interaction, whereas it's a very tiny portion on the TV, which is like, yeah, TVOS is clean, but if I have to put up with the third-party apps that don't understand how to optimize for a trackpad, and I could get used to the trackpad. I had it for years, and I got pretty comfortable with it, but... trying to explain how to use it to my wife or to people who came over who are just like trying to swipe on it, or they hold it upside down, or the, you know, it's just like it didn't have that natural pick it up and you just start using it thing that I felt like an iPod or an iPad had, to like a baby can use those things, like someone who doesn't know how to talk can go up and just like start touching the screen and figuring out. Whereas the remote was like, oh, I swiped too far. Oh, I didn't swipe enough. Or
entering any microphone text activate. Was terrible.
Yeah.
Back before
did
the
I
keyboard
activate
thing
Siri
popped
or
up.
Dictation. Mm-hmm. And also back when I had multiple HomePods and the Apple TV, they weren't great at automatically staying connected. I don't know if it's been fixed since then. I haven't used it in a while, but it was like almost every time I turned the TV on, I would have to go into settings and reconnect them to the HomePod, which I thought would be just a seamless, like, it's all Apple, they all work together, they don't have to think about it. But it was becoming one of those things that I was constantly like, oh, it disconnected from the HomePod, let me connect it again. And they may have fixed that by now, so I'm going to get that one guy commenting. Last year they updated this. Okay, we get it. If you know the answer, keep it to yourself. I appreciate it. Don't tell
you don't
me.
Want to hear
I'm still not coming back.
I'm still not coming back. Because I saw a few comments that agreed with me on this that I would be much more inclined to upgrade my TV if it had TVOS built in. I could power the whole panel and TVOS from one power cable, all my HDMI inputs from one remote. The challenge with that Apple has set up for themselves is TVOS has to support this TiVos app store with all these other games and stuff that they're trying to put on it that requires certain Apple silicon. So I don't think Apple would be willing to hand out their silicon to third party TV makers and say,
again, Drew, like that's the problem here. They're trying to fix two problems with one product. If they had a gaming console, Apple gaming console, say it's the same size as the OG Apple TV, you know, the one that we're used to. Sure. It has an A.
Nick, what ring are you wearing?
I have a signet ring.
The ring of power.
You look like a pimp.
Excuse me. Jewelry does not indicate pimphood.
I was going to.
You look like you're going to smack somebody.
It looked like an Apple. It looked like a mini Apple Watch to me.
It does look like a mini Apple Watch.
This ring, stopping the show, this ring was worn by my great-grandfather for many years, and now
like
I wear
about
it
to fire
on
me.
Special occasions. You're fired, okay? You're fired. You're fired. I cannot believe you.
Excuse me.
You're right,
excuse
Nick,
me.
Though. The silicon, they don't just need a separate piece of hardware for the console. They need a separate platform. Operating system needs to be different too.
So so they need to have TVOS integrated into the TV in like a Roku TV type of way, but then they need to have a Apple, you know, gaming box or whatever if they want to continue with the App Store. You plug it in via Thunderbolt 3, and they can talk to each other on a standard that's not HDMI. So you get like better app integration. You know, maybe the TV box can turn on the TV or whatever, you know, because HDMI is fairly limited on what types of data you can pass between the two. And there's room for it. Like, there is room for a really good Apple TV, like actual TV, you know, maybe $500 for like a nice sized, good quality 4K TV with like Apple TV built in.
But, I love that, but you know, Apple would never settle for those cheap
for $500.
The TCL kind.
They partnered with LG for their monitor.
Yeah, I think they would. I think Apple's smart enough to know that. Yeah, while there might be a few people who spend like $1,200, you know, $5,000 on TVs, most people don't really spend more than $1,000 on a TV. I don't know.
That's true. I agree, but you got to remember these are the people who made the Pro Display, right? Like these are the. They can't find a market for just a simple standalone monitor. They have to go overkill. They have to go XDR.
Yeah,
my imagination is like if they wanted to partner with someone and put their own OS on another TV, then they would have to make sure it has all the Dolby Vision and all the Atmos and the crazy OLED dynamic range that my TV doesn't have. But I agree. I would hope they would be smart enough to realize okay, you could do a whole TVOS thing on a $3,000 screen, but no one's going to buy it. But
they do need to hit the price point. They've done a fairly good job hitting the price point. Like, if you want a streaming gaming box specifically to play Apple Arcade, like, $100 isn't bad.
I'd agree. $100 isn't bad, but that's not what it costs.
It isn't what it costs? How much do these cost?
The Apple TV?
Yeah.
Like, $139 or something like that?
The 4K one's $180.
180. Whoa!
And it doesn't.
I thought it was $99.
180 for 32 gigs with no HDMI cable included. You have to buy that separately, and then they still sell the old Apple TV HD, which cannot do a 4K screen, and that's $150.
They have them on the refurb store. I think one of my friends got it for $100. That's how I was thinking. How much?
I don't think it's the 4K one then. The 4K
no,
one
I think it would
never
be.
I bought
low.
My Apple TV certified refurbished. I'm sure they have that. But either way, I don't agree that they hit the price right, especially when there's
I thought it was $100
streaming
bucks.
Sticks and Rokus now that are far below 100.
Huh. Fascinating.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
They do have an Apple TV. Yeah, okay, they do. So you can get a refurbished HD Apple TV for $129.
That's still pretty much bad for something that can't even do 4K.
But if they market that as a I agree. HD is kind of sad, but again, I don't really care too much about 4K at the end of the day.
If you're buying something to power a TV in today's day and age, like having something as basic.
So we're talking about them refreshing this whole lineup, right? What would the ideal lineup look like?
to me, it would be Stick.
What did he that say? Just does Dell? Streaming. Shut it down.
I would shut,
shut it down. Turn it all off. I would be very interested in them partnering with third parties on powering a whole TV through tvOS and just having the little HDMI inputs built in. That sounds awesome. Because I don't want to have a TV remote that's separate from my Apple TV remote and control the sound and everything from one remote. That's the Apple Vision. That's what it should be. And then you can build on that with a separate platform, with a separate app store. You could, like, it's kind of like the iPad iPhone thing. Like, the Apple console could run tvOS applications. They wouldn't have to re-optimize the apps for them. But it would just be you can make titles that run on the Apple console that don't run on the Apple TV. Because I think what people have discovered that Apple has failed at is just, like, you can just do a platform that's really just meant for streaming content that doesn't play mm-hmm. games. That's okay. Like, that's done really well with Amazon and Roku. I think they have very, very basic mobile games, but no one plays them anyway. So it's like, just have a platform that's built for watching content, playing YouTube and the basics. You don't need a platform for online shopping. I remember Apple bragging about
that. Yeah, that was kind of dumb.
TVOS.
You can pay with Apple Pay on your Apple Watch.
You can do shopping on TV now that there's an app store.
So
you can
convenient.
Browse Amazon. It's like,
I tried the Twitter thing. I hated it. I hated
there was a Twitter
it.
On.
Oh, yeah. That. I think I still have it, too.
Just what I want to see. People hating on each other publicly in 4K at like 55 inches. On my wall.
Even better, I like to see it in 4K of them hating on me.
There is a Roku 4K streaming stick that comes with the remote that's
$19?
$35.
Okay. I think I bought one that was $19 for my grandparents a couple weeks ago.
They're not bad. I mean, the UI isn't the cleanest thing in the world, but it works, you know? It does.
For $35? Fully subsidized? I'll pay for it.
Fully subsidized? Yeah. I think Apple, I'm not saying it has to be $50 even. I'm saying Apple could get by with something that's probably 100 and people would be willing to pay for the Apple tax. But this is like far beyond the Apple tax territory. Now it's just like useless.
And yeah, so the ideal scenario would be like the HDMI stick idea for $79 and then allow you to plug in the gaming console Apple TV. If you want arcade for all that good Apple silicon for another $100 or whatever, and you just have a Thunderbolt cable between the two.
I don't even know if they would tether like that, but I imagine it being like a separate box, like an Xbox or PlayStation. That's just
But like the thing is, you want to only have one remote, right? And so
yeah,
if you start playing other HDMI
everything.
Oh, okay. I see
what you're saying, but.
Well,
the only issue with that is I don't see Apple like making their really powerful silicon go in like dedicated TVs and things.
I just don't think Apple Arcade should be on a TV. These are mobile games.
This is actually a good point, Randy. Good point.
We're all thinking it. Apple just doesn't want to acknowledge that these games aren't really good on a TV.
At no point was I ever able to play Clash of Clans on the TV. So if that's my staple. If I can't play Clash of Clans on TV, then Apple Arcade shouldn't be on the TV. It should be like Game Boy.
Or on the Mac, really. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not really good at the Mac. We all know that Apple wants their arcade developers to optimize things for the TV and the Mac, but then you play them and you're like, yeah, this was meant for a phone or an iPad.
Oh, I saw poor Nick was trying to play. He was trying to play Among Us just the other day on a stream with Mac on the Mac, and the whole thing just crashed and bugged out. And so and he was the imposter too.
Yeah,
so he really took
the
imposter fun out of it.
And you know how you have like the little scrolly wheel thingy. But when you get close to someone, you need to quickly click the kill button if you're the imposter. And so I was scrolling around with my mouse, and then like the kill button's way over here, and I finally got next to someone, and they're trying to run away from me, but I had to stop moving and move my mouse over to kill them. And it was just like, well, this isn't well thought through. But I guess it is literally an iPad app running on a Mac, so what did I expect? But geez.
That's what it is. Yeah, and I know there's been other channels that disagree. I don't see that changing. I don't think Apple Silicon's going to change that. And I don't think that there being a huge amount of revenue in the mobile space is going to result in AAA games and high-end games getting ported to the iPhone and therefore being ported to the Mac really easily. Like, it doesn't matter how easy Apple makes it for the devs aren't going to care. Yeah. They're just going to be like, not a big market there. We have to software update if we come to a different platform, so we don't care how simple it is. If there's not a huge audience there, we're not going to do it. And Apple Silicon doesn't change that situation of the death loop of no one develops games for the Mac, therefore no one buys the Mac for gaming, therefore Mac isn't a gaming platform, and they just, it's a vicious cycle. So I don't think this Silicon is going to change anything. So that's when should Apple just take the L on something? That's what we need to ask ourselves.
Whenever they get to the Air PowerPoint.
Well, they can take the L the same way they took the L on, you know, like something like Air Power and just do a press release. Hey, we screwed up. Or, or they can just quietly act like they reinvented it by splitting it the way they split Apple TV podcasts and iTunes with Apple, like how they split it, and just act like they reinvented it when really it's just like we need to hemorrhage the bleeding here and just, you know, it's a stale thing. Take the L. Mm-hmm. They should have taken one. When should they take an L? They should have taken it already. They should have taken it.
I agree.
Like 2 years ago, and I get what they're doing with, like, put Apple TV Plus, and they are trying to promote two things at once with services on a single on a single vision, which I think they have two separate visions. Apple TV Plus is just trying to be a streaming service, whereas Apple Arcade is trying to be that. There's a service that does this where unlimited games, but you pay a monthly fee.
That's like Steam? Game Pass.
Yeah. Those are very different.
Because those games you can buy outside of the subscription too.
Oh, that's right. You can't even buy these games.
That's why I feel like Arcade just doesn't work, is because their games are nice, but you can't take them off. Like,
Listen, even the name's wrong. Arcade? When's the last time I've gone to an arcade to play a game I can't own? Dave and Buster's? Chuck E. Cheese's?
I was going to say, that's actually pretty accurate, because I feel like people went to the arcade because they couldn't buy all those games.
Yeah.
It's almost a perfect name for the title. you couldn't buy a Pac-Man table.
People
would
Pac-Man.
Back in the day, but they're extremely expensive.
It was probably really hard to do. Most people just took a sock full of quarters.
You know, if you're trying to go play Pac-Man, then you get a Nintendo Switch and you get Pac-Man unlocked on Smash Bros. And then that's how you get Pac-Man. I play Pac-Man all the time. What are you talking about? No,
I
arcade
just wish you
price.
Could take some of the games off Arcade and
buy
them once.
So I haven't done the free trial of Arcade yet. I actually got an email a couple weeks ago, like, "Hey, you haven't taken your free trial. Use it before it expires."
Yeah, you did, and then they're asking for another 3 months now.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny.
I used up my 30 days, and then they're like, "Oh, dude, you have 90 days now." I'm like, "No, I don't care. Whatever."
I think if. I guess I haven't really done a ton of research. I'm not a huge mobile gamer anyway. I kind of like Among Us for the social aspect of hanging out with people and doing something. But other than that, I really don't play mobile games ever. Like, ever. And so it was never for me, I guess. And so I never really took any time to research what Arcade had to offer. Obviously, I saw the keynotes where they demoed the three or four really beautiful and really cool games that looked way too fantastic and way out of my league. I don't know. I wonder if they were packaged individually. If, like, you know, you could get them all on a monthly subscription for $5 a month or whatever it is, but you could also buy each individual game for 99 cents and just own it, just like a regular game. That would be pretty nice.
Why not?
Obviously, they're trying to get you in a subscription. That's why. But
true.
I would like that.
They're pushing the monthly model just too hard, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't want you to even fathom the idea of just liking one of these games. You will like all of them.
Like it!
But, yeah, I do also admit that the console market is very saturated and also very competitive right now. So I can also see why Apple's hesitant to kind of separate the two and go all in on the console market, because they'd probably be like, oh, we don't have games that can rival the exclusives that are on PlayStation or Xbox or Nintendo, so why even bother? This isn't going to work out. But like I've always said, I'm interested in Apple pretty much going into any market they want. They're an interesting company, and I like the way they handle software and hardware. So they want to go all out with a console, give like a whole M1 chip just to a gaming platform. Yeah. I'm like, let's just see what happens. I mean, it might not be super profitable, but I'd be curious. And the most boring thing they can do is when they do nothing with a platform for years and years and don't really make any effort to change it. And that's basically what they've done with Apple TVs. The last time they did anything with it was the iPhone X event in September of 2017. Since then, they have not really changed any of the hardware. And
that wasn't a major... it was just revisions.
It was like 4K now, is the thing.
That was it. That was it. It was the same design. Yeah. It's
it was the
same
iPhone
design
6
language.
Event that had the original 4th-gen Apple TV, right?
Which one?
Was it 6?
iPhone 6S.
I think it was
iPhone 6S.
That.
I'm sorry. iPhone 6S. It was 2015? iPhone 6S.
I'll look it up. You
was
guys
it iPhone 7? Maybe
it was iPhone 7.
Was iPhone 7?
I thought it was the year before.
I think it's the 6S. I think it's the 6S.
Well, that wasn't a success.
Oh, it was 2015.
Success.
So that was success.
I was right.
Yeah.
Bravo. Good job, Nick.
So that's,
I do remember a thing every once in a while.
That was that we're coming up on 6 years.
Yeah. And they
Since
haven't fundamentally
really
changed
anything.
The UI
what
of
is,
it. And I don't think it needs to be changed.
Trash can Mac Pro style can't innovate my beep. Yeah, we're done here. We're done here. We're done here.
Beep. And that's why Phil retired.
Honestly. He saw the Mac Pro and he was like, I don't need to leave.
I'm done.
I'm out of here.
Hey,
speaking
of the Mac Pro, do you guys think that Apple would ever do another modular-like computer? Like, I kind of feel bad for anyone who bought the Mac Pro, and I think we've said that a couple times with the M1 Apple Silicon. It just feels like Apple really screwed the pro market. Like, I know that they say, oh, we care about the pros, and the pros are our passion and everything.
This was, like, intentional.
Literally think it was.
You want a modular, upgradable machine?
Obviously.
Here it is.
Obviously, Intel's they knew gone, that the Apple Silicon was definitely end of development at that point, right? Like, we got that introduced in the summer of 2019, right? So that was... They knew that the Apple Silicon was coming out, and they knew that their path was going to be way better. And so they're just like, yeah, let's just screw the pro market and say, yeah, here, you want this, like, really sophisticated, like, really cool Intel-based system that is expandable with only GPUs that we'll support, and we're going to wait, like, 2 or 3 generations before we'll support other GPUs because, you know, reasons of Apple. And and then we're going to charge you $50,000 for it, and here's a beautiful monitor. And then less than 18 months later, they'll announce a Mac Mini that smokes it for $700. Like, that is just the ultimate middle finger to the pro market. And I'd feel bad for anyone who was like excited about the Mac Pro, and I kind of am looking forward to the M1
version
of the Mac
Pro.
They
had a few months of happiness, I feel like.
But like for $50,000,
right.
I literally have a tie to
like,
adjust.
Most people probably didn't get that model. I mean, I bet the most popular models were north of 10,000 still.
Yeah, about 10 to 15 seems to be pretty standard.
Because the base model was pretty atrocious, spec-wise.
256 gigabytes of fast SSD. Just like,
pretty much any Mac Pro that was under 10,000, you were probably better off getting an iMac Pro anyway. So you had to kind of spend up higher and higher.
iMac
and
Pro, what's that?
Oh, yeah, that's completely gone now. Huh? It's not even on the little menu bar anymore. But, yeah, I as soon as you said screwed the pro market, it made me imagine them like, okay, they want the modularity, they want the upgradability, they want all that. Let's just give it to them, but for insanely expensive, and then like a year later make it completely worthless.
Exactly.
Just like,
that's what I mean.
Completely destroy it with our own silicon that is probably not going to be very upgradable and probably won't let you... You could probably add a little bit to the upcoming Mac Pro, but I doubt it'll be as modular as the last one. And you're right. The power efficiency and the performance is probably going to be far better than whatever Intel is capable of.
$589 Mac Mini, which is available on the Apple refurbished store right now, M1, yeah. You can smoke a $10,000 to $15,000 Mac Pro. Not iMac Pro.
I don't know
Mac
if you Pro. Can smoke it.
In render times, in export times.
You could probably cook it, but I don't think you can smoke it.
Okay.
iMac Pro still exported faster than the M1 I had. So I imagine those 10 to 15 iMac Pros still had some advantages, but I don't think it's the Mac Mini.
In video-related, like, encoding type things, I think it was quite a bit faster.
Possibly.
But at least tech on that game for $700, like what's that, like, or $500? That's literally like 1/30
okay,
of the
Drew,
price.
Okay, you're not doing 4K anymore anyway, so you're fine. It's okay.
Yeah.
I did yesterday. You're not paying close enough attention.
Ooh. I don't have 4K on the phone. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you can. You can set it to YouTube supports that. On
why would
the,
anybody
yeah,
want to do that though?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Just want to waste your internet connection or battery life.
Why would anyone read the description links? I don't know. All I'm saying is Mac Mini.
Because I
want to
know who Drew is when I'm not watching him, or when he thinks no one's watching him. Who's Drew when he thinks nobody's watching
who is
him?
Drew.
He's a crypto
Mac Mini is
addict.
Not. It doesn't smoke the expensive Mac Pros, but it is a. It's like loading the gun that's being pointed at the Mac Pro fans. It's like, this is what a $700 Apple Silicon Mac does.
Okay, that's fair.
Can't wait till we pull the trigger on the actual Mac Pro that's supposed to come out before.
This isn't
this summer,
even my final
summer.
Form.
Right. Now that they're seeing the silicon and they're like, oh, crap. The difference is there, but it's very small now. It's like, oh, dang, the Mac Pro is a little bit faster.
You should
but
see
not
us when we start trying.
Once we start trying, now all the Mac Pro fans are going to be like, well, I mean, at least from what I can recall, the reason people liked upgradable machines or modular machines was because they could buy one and just upgrade individual components as time went on, right? It was supposed to be like a longevity argument of when I want to add
more storage.
That's what I
mean, screwing the pros.
Yeah, you can add more GPUs, so you're like, cool, I'm going to buy this really heavy-duty machine, and it's modular, so I can upgrade it down the line, and I can update it, and as if I want to improve one aspect of it, I can. I don't have to buy a whole new machine. And now it's like all that is kind of pointless, because if you can buy something that's a fraction of the price that's substantially faster, why would you spend more money on an Intel Mac Pro that is still going to be slower when you could spend that money towards just an Apple Silicon Mac Pro that'll be far faster, less upgradable, but less reasons to upgrade it in the future anyway. So it does kind of feel like it was almost intentionally to screw them over.
it was because they were begging for it, right? Like, Apple has never been the kind of tinkering company, like, even back to the 2000s, like, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, sure, you can upgrade the RAM, but, like, only this kind of RAM, and it's really only RAM that you can touch, and we don't want you touching the CPU or the GPU or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
It was still very closed, and it's just gotten more that way, and heck, with the M1 Mac Mini, the entire logic board's the size of an iPhone, and, like, you literally can't change anything about that thing. It's just all soldered on there, and you can't change anything,
which is
fine because that's great performance for great cost. But all of these pros and gamers have been begging Apple for some kind of modular thing. Oh, we want modularity. And Apple's like, no, you really don't. Take a look at our integrated products that are way better. And they keep whining and complaining, oh, I want expandable. I want to be able to put my own GPU in it. And Apple's like, no, you don't. Okay, fine. Here, we'll give this to you just to prove
you
that
you
don't.
You want.
I legitimately think Tim and Eddie Q were sitting there twiddling their fingers and like, we need to have everyone regret that they bought this so they'll stop complaining in the future.
It was almost like, if you think about it, they unveiled the modular cheese grater Mac Pro redesign in summer of 19. And it didn't launch until like December of 19. And then it was like 6 months later that they announced the transition.
Yep.
So to me, it almost feels like they they knew that transition was coming for years, I'm sure.
Years, like
that
yes.
Was, absolutely. That was
2015. I watched a few videos, and it looks like 2015 when Intel couldn't provide whatever new chips for this 2016 MacBook Pros that overheated. That was when Apple was like, all right, we need to figure out our own stuff. So, like, this has been in the works for a long time.
Yeah. I'm sure they were even thinking about it when they first developed their own chip. I think it was the A4, the first one. As soon as they developed their own, I bet that was when they were kind of like, how far can we take this? Could we do it on everything? So, yeah, I'm sure that announcement in 2020 was likely the plan all along. And they knew that unveiling the Mac Pro and its modularity. So it was, in a way, kind of a stopgap. It was just like,
maybe.
Well, if we're going to do a Mac Pro refresh after the trash can, we got to get it out before the Apple Silicon announcement. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no one will want it. So they had to launch it in 19. And
yeah.
They were like, we can charge whatever we want because this is all going to become pointless in a couple of years.
What if?
And how crazy would they buy $50,000 worth? Let's do it.
You know, have you seen Impractical Jokesters where they're all laughing at the TV screen? Yeah. They're like, let's charge 50 grand for that thing. They're all laughing. The pro stand is 1,000. Oh my God, they're actually buying it.
Yeah, you know what? I never thought about it like that, but that was just to shut them up because they knew in very quickly it was going to be obsolete. And
you know, when they announced the PowerPC to Intel transition, they said it would take 2 years, and it only took like 1.5.
Yeah.
They were ahead of schedule. I fully expect
by the end of December of this year, we'll have all of the Macs have at least an announcement of. Yeah.
Well, that'd be interesting.
I mean,
I think they could have done it.
What are
already,
we missing here?
To be honest.
We have MacBooks coming at some point this year, iMacs coming at some point this year, and that's really
probably.
It.
Like,
I don't expect them to update the iMac, the Mac Pro. The
cheese grater Mac Pro being discontinued would shock me this year. I think that would be pretty. Quick. That's the only one that I could see being pushed till
next
year.
I also don't see them refreshing that ever.
Well, not refreshing, but replacing with a Apple Silicon version and saying, like, this is
Do you think it would look the same? Cheese grater design?
No. At least according to Bloomberg, it sounds like it's a lot smaller and more compact.
What about according to Drew? What does he think?
What do I think? Yeah, I think that the whole Mac Pro was basically designed around the x86 architecture. Mm-hmm. Basically, the reason you had this giant thermal case was because of how hot Intel was. But now if you're bypassing all that and doing your own way more efficient chips, kind of makes that whole design somewhat unnecessary if it's all ARM, knowing how fast we can get chips without fans.
Yeah.
And the fan on the Mac Mini and MacBook Pro don't even make that big a difference anyway, so I'm sure the Mac Pro will still probably have some type of cooling architecture, but I think it might have a lot more in common with the trash can Mac Pro than the cheese grater Mac Pro. They can go back to crazy design.
I have a thought.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I know. It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Randy's always right, so.
He is.
Oh, this is just an observation. It's not I guess you could. I think I could throw a prediction in there, but the prediction is pretty obvious. So Apple used to let the pro market have access and let it be modular, upgrade the specs. You can open it from the side. You can open it from the top. The cube lets you have the handle. The stand drop down from the side. Like, you had all these. Even iMac, to the at least in the back, you can get into the RAM. And
the Mac.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the 128K original Macintosh was, you could upgrade the hard drive. There wasn't a hard drive. It was somehow upgradable.
There was no hard drive.
Yeah. Anyway.
But they used to be more open.
They used to be open, and they did it because they knew that's what people wanted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of always went against their design philosophy, where they want to completely integrate it, seamless, and
plug it in and it works,
and that's it. But they knew people wanted access to that stuff, so they gave it to them.
And they made it easy too. They used it as like almost like a feature. Look how easy you can access. Just drop it from the side. Here you go. Pull it from the handle. Here you go. You had access to do all this stuff. But then iPhone came out. And when iPhone came out, that became
one of them.
iPhone became the bread and butter of revenue, of income, and all that stuff. No longer the Macintosh or the Mac line. So they didn't let you get access to the Mac Mini. They didn't let you get access to the way they didn't really let you get access to the trash can Mac Pro was because the Mac was no longer their selling point. iPhone was, and iPhone blew up, which means that let Apple have the courage, as our dear friend Phil would say, to say, no, we're not going to let you get access to this stuff. And if it wasn't for the success of iPhone, we would still be able to have root access to a lot of these computers and stuff like that. And I feel since we know, like, there's a market for Mac OS, there's a market for all that stuff, but it's not what's keeping the company afloat right now, and it won't be. So, and I think that ship has sailed. That's their post PC era that they're in, because it doesn't matter what happens to the Mac. They do it because of the love for it, not because they need it to survive. With that, we just bridged that gap even more, now doing more things in house with their Apple Silicon that I don't think Mac Pro is going to be, if at all, ever modular, because that's they can afford to say, no, screw that, we're not going to do it, just for the sake of that they want to keep it seamless and integrated, even though the pro consumers, I want access to it, and they're going to say no because their bargaining chip is that it's not going to hurt the company. Back then,
and it's our silicon. That's the selling point.
Back then, it was almost a necessity because they were almost bankrupt. They spent years trying to recover. They had to cater to the customer, even when they probably didn't want to. They had to, and it changed when iPhone came out. iPhone changed the trajectory of what for the company just staying healthy, vibrant, alive, and thriving. And I think now, what we see Apple's utility with these chips, Mac Pro, the days of anything being modular are done, and is my opinion. Even for a Mac Pro, the Mac Pro is going to sell with the Apple Silicon. It's going to sell because of all the extra power and all the stuff that they're going to put in there. But they're going to also
make the difference here is it'll be like unmatched. Like the difference with Intel was that other companies could basically use those same chips, and the performance gains were pretty debatable between custom PC and Mac. It was like, the PC was ahead here and cheaper here because you had all these other parts you can use, but Apple Silicon's not going to be available to those custom PC builds. So that's another question I wanted to ask you about, like the pricing of the Mac Pro. If they decide to price it like $4,000 or $5,000, but the chip is faster than the 28 core Intel Xeon, no one's going to be able to argue with that. You could be like, you cannot build your own machine. You cannot buy something equivalent to that performance. It's just going to be M1 Mac Mini on a new level. You know, it's like you can't beat that performance for the price. And we price have that
dollar.
Right now with a
price per dollar.
We have that price per dollar now with a $700 Mac.
Price per dollar.
And
you guys got to stop this price per dollar thing.
By next year, we're going to have the same price per dollar for a $5,000 Mac. That's like, if you try to do 5K on a custom build, you will still be nowhere near as powerful as this chip.
Trajectory suggests that it's going to be cheaper.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I would say. Yeah, that's a good question. How much do you guys think these new MacBook Pros / M1X chips are going to, you know, you think they're going to be the same price or a little bit cheaper, and by how much?
I think MacBook Pros will be the same because it sounds like to me, from what we're hearing with this unicorn MacBook of mini LED and the
HDMI SD card, they're going
to save some money by switching to their own silicon and then eat it right back up again with the display panel.
You're right.
As Apple could always do, they could pack in just better specs to make it justify the cost. So now the default storage is 1 terabyte instead of 512. So I think that the value will be substantially better than now, but the actual starting price won't change. I think 16-inch MacBook Pro starting at $2,400 probably still going to be there, but it'll be substantially better than the current. It'll be way faster. It'll look way better. It'll have a better screen, probably more ports. It's the Mac Pro that I'm very curious if they're going to keep the pricing where it is, because the pricing on the current Mac Pro is like insane. So if that didn't have Intel in it, that's what I wanted to ask you guys. Like, do you think
it'll be cheaper?
The next Mac Pro will be a lot cheaper?
Yes.
How cheap are we talking?
iMac Pro replacement.
So 5,000 starting?
No. In my Mac Pro replacement, right? So completely Apple Silicon version of Mac Pro. Probably starting around 2,000 and topping out about 8,000.
Whoa, likely 2,000.
Yeah. So if you look at... Yeah, guys, there is so much room inside of...
I didn't know you were going to go that direction.
Well, I mean, the trash can started at 3.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's going to be...
That was
component
like 10
cost has come down, right? Like, it's SSD storage is not what it used to be. We found out that with the M1 chips, at least, you really don't need a ton of RAM. You need a little bit, but maybe for more professional workflows, people would feel more comfortable with 16 or 32 gigs. But it's not like you need 512 gigabytes of RAM anymore. You know, Apple's very efficient with that, and their SSDs are so fast, swapping is almost not a problem anymore. And I think if they were to be smart with reusing some of the old designs that they have, maybe, you know, yeah, just bring back the trash can Mac Pro. And, yeah, don't put a fan in it and just put the M1X in it. Like, why not? Like, okay, the
whole design is a big thermal.
Yeah.
Can't innovate my...
without a fan.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, this is what Apple Silicon has done. Like, Apple Silicon has taken a lot of the complexity out of computer design. If you think back, Steve really wanted to fit computers into smaller spaces. Think like the 2004 iMac, the one with like the little neck and the flat panel that moved around. Like, he had to fit an entire G4 computer, a DVD drive, and a big hard drive in this little itsy bitsy base. And it's all very compact and stuff. But now that entire system is taken up with something the size of an iPhone, because, and it's like infinitely more powerful, right? Or a watch. Yeah. I mean, okay, yeah, for the same power, probably about the size of the S1 chip. But for something that's very usable today, the M1, and probably even more usable, the M1X, I don't imagine it being too much bigger physically. Like, okay, maybe the die size is 20% bigger, and you need like a little bit beefier power supply, and maybe you need to have more components on the logic board. But at the end of the day, okay, the size of 2 iPhones. Wow, doubled the size of the logic board. They'll very easily fit in any of these classic designs, such as the 2013 Trash Can Mac Pro. And Apple already has all of the engineering work done for that Mac Pro. They probably already still have some of the manufacturing equipment and stuff. I don't understand why
it's made in the US, though.
Yeah, what's stopping them? I mean, okay, maybe they don't want to bring out the classic design, anodize it in space aluminum or something, you know?
Wait, Nick, space are gray. You saying take an old design and just put new stuff in it?
Yeah, basically. Like, Apple, come on, get on this. Like, the Trash Can Mac Pro would be a perfect combination for this, because it's small enough, but yet still big enough, and I don't know.
All right.
It would be it'd be perfect.
I like the thought process, but I disagree. I would rather them come up with something new entirely.
Oh, you're just a bored Apple sheep over there, Drew.
Yeah.
Come on.
You could put a Mac Pro.
Randy, stop. Hold on. I want to hear what Drew has to say.
Just mine's a quickie.
You can go first. That's fine.
Apple TV.
Okay.
Just take. You could use something as small as Apple TV. I'm saying I found a use for the Apple TV.
For the audio listeners, Randy is making a motion with his hands of.
I was like, Drew's mimicking it, but he's not describing it for the audio listeners.
I'm doing this, audio listeners.
We can repurpose the Apple TV.
Yeah.
For Mac, like it.
Okay, I think the Mac
you
Mini
fit everything
the components
Mac Mini
inside of the Mac
could
Mini
fit into it.
Yeah, it would totally. Very easily. The power supply is like 80% of the volume of the Mac Mini. If they were to move the power supply to a Thunderbolt 3 power, power supply with like a standard MacBook charger, they totally
the
fit
IO the would Mac. Be, the yeah. I.O. would be a tad limited, but yeah, no, I,
put
I'm
four Thunderbolt 3
you could
ports
fit
on
that.
It, call it a day.
I.O.
We'll just ditch HDMI.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But I would be very tempted by a Mac Pro if it was as cheap as Nick is describing. I just don't have faith that they'll do that. I think I don't see, knowing how iMacs have gotten more expensive over the years, despite Apple doesn't seem to acknowledge that SSDs have gotten cheaper. They don't really care about that.
Well, because they always choose the highest quality SSD, right? They're not.
Well,
using
they try to fit
SD
it all
cards.
In one chip now.
Yeah.
It's not like the same.
Well,
SSDs.
No, it's on two chips. Even the base
it's
model
like
M1
standard,
Mac has two chips.
But it's not like your PCIe based.
No.
SSD.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
It's like
so. It's almost the equivalent of asking for a 1 terabyte iPad, you know, like trying to.
Who would
fit
ever
the little...
do that? Who would ever ask for a 1 terabyte iPad?
People, I mean, if people look at how much extra it costs for the 1 terabyte variant, they're like, that's stupid. SSDs are way cheaper now. It's like, it's not that kind of SSD. It's like really miniaturized and tiny. So that's what it would probably be for the Mac Pros. It's like, it would be amazing value. I would just love it if it was sub 6,000 and I mean, my hope is that the Mac Pro would get more powerful silicon than the iMacs. Like, that only makes sense, right? Or would Apple be the type to just have the unified same chip across both?
I think it would be the same, at least for this generation. It would be the same unified chip. Like, if you think back to when Apple was in the midst of the power PowerPC chips,
yeah.
They always used the same generation. It was the G4, the G5, the G3. They used the same processor across all of their devices, like the same die and everything. It was just a different case and a different logic board and a different cooling system. So I just for the simplicity's sake, because it is so confusing to say, oh, yeah, this one has an i5. Oh, this one has an i9. Oh, my little 12-inch MacBook has an M5. It's just like it's so confusing. It doesn't need to be.
So you kind of like how they're doing M1 in multiple different product lines, and then there will just be
M1X and
how many lines
different.
Do you have? Do you have the X line and then the normal line? Is that
I would
it?
Just say or those two have... for now. Maybe at some point they'll find room for more, but right now, basically, if you get the M1 MacBook Air, it's pretty powerful, but you're limited by the thermal performance, right? Like that's something that Apple really made clear. With the M1, the performance is only throttled by its thermal potential, its thermal...
pretty much. Envelope.
Whatever, whatever that fancy word that I'm not thinking of. But so you get the MacBook Air, you don't get quite as powerful as a device as, say, the MacBook Pro or the Mac Mini, because those have fans, and the Mac Mini is the most powerful of the M1s because it has a dedicated fan always plugged into the wall. Like, there's no battery constraints, it's inside the case. There's so much room inside that little Mac Mini. It's just all air cooling. And
the performance is pretty similar.
Yeah, okay, but we're talking about like 3 or 4% differences.
Sure,
and that is still how Apple is distinguishing these three different devices, right? Like, if you want the Air and you want the Pro, you know, oh, the Air doesn't have a fan, so the Pro is probably going to be the one that I want to get if I'm going to, you know, do light video editing, even though the Air can do it just fine.
It definitely can. But does that mean, if I'm hearing Nick correctly, he's saying pretty much this whole silicon transition will be done by the end of the year?
I hope so.
And if there's only two tiers, that means we get one more chip this year, and then that goes in the rest of the whole lineup.
Yep, I'd say so.
It's like M1X, and then that's all the iMacs, all the MacBook Pros, and the Mac Pro all get the M1X.
I would still say I'm not sold on the M1 Mac Pro at this point. Because you don't need it.
Oh, no.
The point of the Mac Pro is to provide more power. And so if they're only shipping the one chip, the difference between a 16-inch MacBook Pro with two fans or a Mac Pro with the same chip is not going to be a lot. And I don't see a reason for them to have a Mac Pro.
To me, it's the same reason we have a Mac Mini. It's like if you just
want... Okay, they could beef up
the
Mac Mini, but throw an M1X in the Mac Mini, but then it wouldn't really be a Pro. That'd be interesting. I'd take an M1X Mac Mini any day of the week.
Oh yeah, I would too. Just I like that they still have it because the
how,
idea.
How has
just...
the Mac Mini become the most popular device now?
It is. It's amazing, but like I don't know. I feel like
because it's the best.
It's
price
it's great
per dollar,
because
Andy.
It's a device that you can just get the computer and then you supply everything else.
Yeah.
I like having that option. And I would want something similar with something way higher end than a Mac Mini, not just a couple ports on the back, not just an M1 chip, but something that can outclass. Because I don't know if there's enough room, because the way we're looking at it now is there's the M1, which is covering the entry-level Macs, and then there has to be one more chip that comes out that beats the 28-core Mac Pro. I feel like that's going to be kind of a very... big jump, or not, or the jump to the M1X probably won't be
enough
to cover.
You're thinking in the box, Drew. You got to get outside the box.
No,
you're thinking in scope of Intel. It's all one chip. No, I'm with Nick on this. I get it. I get it. Like
just think back to the quadrants. What if hypothetical? What if we really do just go back to the quadrants? We have MacBook Air for the portable professional with an M1 chip, or portable consumer with the M1 chip, and then MacBook Pro with the M1X chip for the portable professional. And then we have...
What about the two-port MacBook Pro?
Get rid of that. I don't know why that exists still.
This doesn't support the quadrant theory.
Okay, fine. Delete the entire lineup and just have four devices. Delete everything, actually. Just delete all of Apple and we'll all go back to Intel.
Fresh.
Intel has told us that they are worthy of our business somehow through copious amounts of advertising.
We've been wanting them
Justin
to start.
Justin Long was just so good.
He's such a. Let's close up Apple. We're done.
I think if we've been wanting Apple to change their naming scheme forever for refreshing, just drop MacBook, MacBook Pro, iPad, iPad. What's this mini nonsense? There's your quadrant. It's not
Mac.
Quadrant. They
just
Mac.
Mac. Oh,
that's
could
it.
You imagine?
Just a tower.
Could
just
you
a
imagine?
Tiny little tower.
That's just
that
the
powers
new
everything.
I would love that. Just Mac.
I still want to see a Mac Nano that looks like a HDMI thumb drive that plugs into your back of your monitor,
kind of
and it's just a whole Mac. I still
Apple
want
Mac.
That.
Apple Mac.
You could just be like, I want a Mac on that screen. Done. Plug in.
Did you see that Raspberry Pi that has it's like built into a keyboard? You can,
I think I did
you can buy
that.
A Raspberry Pi 400 with that's like inside of a keyboard, and you just it's just the
I'm
keyboard with like a bunch of
all.
I/O ports on the back.
Well, just do that, Apple. Be a $1,000 keyboard.
Just bring back the classic Apple II with the keyboard computer combo.
Yes. Well, there you have it, Cheese Grater Mac Pro owners. You were directly screwed intentionally
by Tim Cook personally.
It was personal. They did this to spite you, and you fell for it. We apologize.
Suckers.
Thank you all for watching. Have a great week.
Have a
bye
great
bye.
Week, guys.
Take
bye.
Care.